And Sunday satsang, June 18th. And we are, it's very nice, someone was asking about, you're asking about how to control the mind. Is that what you're asking? Yeah, that's what I thought. So, first Arjuna, he's having a discussion with Krishna. They're talking about yoga in chapter 6. The whole chapter is called Ashtanga Yoga, which means you follow the system of Patanjali and the 8 steps of the yoga ladder, meditating, culminating, you know, the Ashtanga process culminates in meditating on, there's there's the Maya body or Brahma body? So Brahma body, he ends up with super soul. Although he follows Gyan and Ashtanga Yoga. But the Maya body, he ends up with Brahman. Because he's rather negative towards the Lord. He doesn't accept the Lord. So that's his goal, Brahman. So Arjuna is saying, we hear this talk about yoga. He's saying Ashtanga Yoga. You're talking about you have to control the mind. That's the mind is the best friend or the worst enemy. The mind is the porthole to liberation. By the mind we can get liberated, or by the mind we stay bound. The mind is the master. Like if the king is kind to us and favorable to us, then we live comfortably and happily and protected in his kingdom. But if the mind is this king is unhappy with us, then he may banish us from the kingdom, or torture us, or even imprison us, or beat us. So the mind is also compared to a king. So the uncontrolled mind is like a ruthless king, like a tyrant, dictator, who tortures all the citizens and harasses them all and mistreats them all. So Maya, she beats up our mind in bad ways. So then Arjuna says, and 6:34, he says, Chanchalam himana Krishna pramatti balavad dridam tasyam nigraham manye vayor eva sudushkaram. O Krishna ji, the mind is chanchal. It's very jumping, fickle. Fickle means here and there, not steady. And he's agitating and very, well, I translate it like he's very crazy. Pramati. Pramati means very disturbing. Very disturbing and crazy. And Balavat, he's strong. He's powerful. And Dridha means he's relentless. He's determined. He never sleeps. Even our body, we get to sleep. And our agitated senses appear to rest. But our agitated mind never rests, even when we're awake or when we're asleep. We're agitated during the day, and then we're at night. Sometimes we experience the result of our agitation or expansion of it. So he presents this dilemma and this obstacle and problem to Krishna, which people often ask the same question, how to control the mind. And everyone agrees, everyone can agree with Arjuna. No, this is not a point of debate. No psychologist, no philosopher, no doctor, no human being who has a brain will disagree that this is the characteristics of the material mind, chanchal. Very fickle and changeable. We can say fickle means changeable. Oh, I want this. Oh, no, I don't want that. Oh, I want this. Oh, I don't want that. Sankalpa vikalpa. Let me get this. I got it. Oh, and 2 days later, I don't like this. Why didn't you decide $100 ago? $100 before this, why didn't you decide? No, but it looked good. I thought it was good. So this is fickleness. So some people are more prone to this than others. So then Krishna is listening very compassionately to his friend Arjuna. And he says, you're right. as they say in India, your right saying. Your right saying. This is how they don't know English very well in the village. Say, oh Maharaj, your right saying. Just like Prabhupada in his beautiful way he spoke English, with this mixture of British formal English with his own understandings and experiences as he grew up in 1900s in Calcutta. He would say this oftentimes, a sannyasi disciple would come to meet him after being separated from for some time. And then Prabhupada would greet that sannyasi and say, oh, you know, Satsarup Maharaj, where from you have come? Where from you have come? That's very nice, almost poetical. Where from you have come? But it's not exactly proper English. The proper English but would be, where are you coming from? But Prabhupada, his English expression reflected a mixture of Hindi grammar in the English language. So the construction of his sentences was very correct Hindi-wise, in terms of where is the verb and where is the noun and who is the pronoun, who is the doer. But English-wise, it was incorrect. So right saying. So Krishna said to Arjuna, you are saying rightly, you are saying correctly. I fully agree with you. Krishna said, I fully agree with you. Chanchalam himana Krishna pramati balavad dridam. I agree. However, but now I disagree. You're saying the mind is very difficult to control, dridam. But I'm saying no, or rather yes. No, it's not difficult, and yes, you can control it. Then Arjuna is thinking, okay, pray tell, how will you control it? And Krishna gives a simple answer. Not a simple answer, but a brief answer. He says, Abhyasena tu kunteya vairagyena chagriyate. This is in Ashtanga Yoga chapter 35, verse. So he says, he gives a formula, a two-step formula. There's two things you have to do to control the mind. Practice controlling the mind every day, every moment, every hour. And that's what is mean by abhyas. Repeated, daily, constant, regular, over and over again practice. And then, what is the second point? Okay, I'm practicing, but I'm eating chuk-a-chuk bhog three times a day. And if I'm eating chuk-a-chuk bhog three times a day and 17 snacks in between, aloo tikki here and a couple mango shakes here and a lassi here and there, and maybe a few candy bars here and there, and some chips, and some... Well, we go on munching and crunching throughout the day. So how are we going to control the senses if the senses are getting, which especially the tongue is so powerful, is getting constantly stimulated by salt or sweet or bitter or pungent or sour, all the varieties of five tastes, we're entertaining our tongue and our tongue is dancing in a circus of sense gratification, you know, circus of tasting these different flavors. So that's why vairagya, he says there's some detachment, some regular practice, regulated eating and sleeping. Because earlier, Krishna said that the yogi doesn't sleep too much and sleep too little. He doesn't eat too much or eat too little, and he doesn't enjoy too much or enjoy too little. So what I found very interesting here is that what Krishna is saying is also confirmed. Krishna is, of course, teaching bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga to Arjuna. But bhakti yoga and Ashtanga yoga have something in common. They're both yoga. So yoga, there's the eight steps of the yoga ladder for Ashtanga yogis, and there's the eight steps of the yoga ladder for bhakti yogis. The last last step is samadhi. And that is the culmination, that is perfection, what we call the prayojan, the final point, the conclusion, the ultimate goal, the ultimate quintessence and ultimate goal of all the practices and all the studies and all the endeavors and control and practice. It ends with samadhi. So for the Ashtanga yogis, samadhi means Brahma Sayujya Mukti, Brahma Kaivalya Mukti, or it can mean Paramatma, seeing the becoming, realizing the all-pervading Paramatma. So we have samadhi also, but our samadhi is to enter the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in our spiritual sarup, spiritual body, sarup city, and eternally serve them. So our samadhi is the perfectional of all of our practices. Here we're serving a personal God and doing all of our 8 steps of yoga are connected with serving a personal God. That's our practice. And our perfection is the same thing. So bhakti as a sadhana and bhakti as a sadhak or as a siddha. The sadhana bhakti or the siddhi of bhakti is the same. Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, praying to Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So our practice is our goal. Our goal is in our practice, and our practice leads us to the goal. They're actually one. That's the unique aspect of bhakti, whereas jnana and ashtanga yoga, practice is one thing, and the final point, the goal, the culmination, is something different. They give up all that. When they realize Brahman, then there's no need to do anything, because now I'm Brahman. So my consciousness is fully identifying. It's called sthita pragya. I'm fixed in this awareness. So Vishwanath, when he gives his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, is called Sararta Varshani. Varshani means a rain shower, a monsoon downpour, a celestial, heavy downpour of rain, monsoon, torrents of rain falling with the essence of meaning. A rainfall, which is the Sarart, the essential object to be understood in this verse, or the essential meaning to be drawn from these verses of Gita, according to the great Rasikacharya and Gaudiya contemporary Mahajan, let's say Gaudiya Mahajan, Srila Chakravarti Pad, as he's often referred to over here. So he has a very beautiful analogy which makes it so easy to see the whole thing. Even I drew a little chart on my book here. How to control the mind. So he compares the mind, the uncontrolled mind, he compares to a disease, a malady, infection. Disease. A rogue, we say in Hindi, rogue, or vyadi, janma mrityu jara vyadi, a vyadi, or rogue, or infection, and disease. So that on one side, there's the material disease, which is the analogy, and the comparison is the diseased mind, the uncontrolled mind. So now, what is the cure for the material disease? I have some, whatever, leukemia, whatever, some diseases can't be cured, but some diseases that can be cured. Say a very heavy cold, maybe pneumonia. Pneumonia can be cured, but it can also kill you. It's like on the border. But pneumonia can be cured. So he compares the uncontrolled mind is like a very serious disease. So there's, what did I write down? There's 3 factors to get cured. There's 3 factors to get cured of a material disease. But in a spiritual disease, a disease of the mind, there's 5 factors. So 3 of them are in common. So he says, and this is common sense, and our own practical experience bears this out. Yukti. Yukti means common sense. And we say shastra vichar and yukti. Consideration of the shastra and also common sense. They're helpful. So he says, first thing is, you need a doctor. He has to diagnose what the disease is. You need a doctor. There's disease. So there's the disease is the problem, And the solution is the cure. Or let's say the goal is, disease is the problem and the goal is health. And the solution is, you know, to get your health is this process. So first you go, there's the doctor. Then you take the medicine. And then the next factor is what? Time. So there's vaidya, dawa, and kala. kala means time. Kala. Time, and the dawa means oshadi, medicine, and the vaidya is the doctor. So now Vishnu says, so now our analogy, so you need a doctor. So the doctor for the disease is the guru. And the medicine for, and then, so now the medicine is, there's three parts to the medicine. The guru is the same. I mean, you need a doctor, and doctor is the guru. And you need a medicine, so both have doctor or guru, and both have medicine, and both have the time factor. So the disease we have is very, very serious. Ridrogam, in the 10th chapter of Bhagavatam, chapter 33, verse 39, Vikrititam Vrajabhadubhir Sarkalpita. Shukadeva Goswami is answering Parikshit about, or is explaining to Parikshit about the power of hearing Rasalila. Shadanvita. If one believes it, if he actually believes Krishna has such pastimes, he has to believe it first and not doubt it. You know, he has to believe this is possible. One man can dance with 16,000 girls, or one man can expand himself, or dance so fast like an alachakra. Alachakra means the principle of Allah means fire. Samsara davan alalida loka. So nala ala davan means forest, and ala means fire. Samsara davan alalida ala. I'm in the davan. I'm in the forest. What? And I'm being burned in the forest. Samsara, and the glorification of guru. He's like a rain cloud. So this ala chakra, nala ala means fire. It means fire circle. Chakra means circle. So if you take a incense at night and you light it, then you offer the Thakurji, then turn off the light and go turn your hand in a circle, and it looks like a continuous red circle. That's called ala chakra. So it looks like there's no break. There's no break. It's continuous. Everywhere you see red, it's actually the, you can say it's the stream, you know, the jet trail. It's like the jet trail of the incense, Agarbati, as it's going in a circular fashion, but it's going so fast that the front meets the end, so it becomes a continuous circle. So Acharyas explain that Krishna's Leela and Gaur Leela and Ram Leela, all the avatars' Leelas are Nitya, and they're like ala chakra. So they're all, every single Leela, when it's happening somewhere in some material universe at the same time. So when it finishes here, then it's there. Just like if you were to take digital photography of the ala chakra with the incense example, then you could see, oh, there's some space. There's fire, then there's space, there's fire, there's space, there's fire. It's not really a line of fire, it's an optical illusion. It's an optical illusion that's created in my eye because of the speed of the red spark going in a circle. So this is, so Krishna's Leela is compared to ala chakra, because they say, Prabhupada used the term traveling roadshow. The circus comes to Berlin, and then they do that for 5 days, and they pack up and they go to Estonia, then they pack up and they go to Lithuania, and then, so, they were here, all the same thing there. They were just here. So that, but the Acharyas use the example of the ala chakra, because it's continuous, it's no break. It's not, because when you pack up the circus, you have to 5 days to travel to Estonia. There's some break. There's no circus for 5 days. So Krishna's Leela is eternal, means no end. No beginning, no end. They're eternally going on. So it goes from this universe to that universe. So right now, somewhere Krishna is killing Putana. And right now, somewhere Krishna is killing Kamsa. And right now, somewhere Krishna is dancing in the Rasa Leela. It's like this. So this disease, for the three factors will bring a solution or a cure. to a very serious material disease. It'll take a long time. You have to continue to take the medicine for a long time with the right doctor, then you get cured, if it's a curable disease. Now, with bhakti, we have the disease. I was talking about the Bhagavatam and about how it's that Shukadeva Goswami is telling Pariksit that Srimad Bhagavatam, I just narrated to you the five chapters of the Rasa Lila, Rasa Panchadhyaya, 29 to 33, a tenth canto. And this hearing process, which you just did, or anyone does, if they have faith in it and they believe it, then it will cure the disease, ridrogam. Ridrogam kamam. Kamam ridrogam. Kamam ridrogam. So this is the disease. We're talking about, he says, chanchalam himana krishna. The mind is very difficult to control. So that the mind is being compared here. The controlling of the mind is being compared to the controlling of a disease. And when the disease is controlled, then you get health. So when the mind is controlled, then you get health. So this idea I was thinking of disease, so the one of the ways to get cured from the disease and one of the medicines of bhakti is to hear about Krishna's pastimes. And the most powerful medicine of all bhakti medicines, if one has the adhikar, the qualification of faith, and he's not an offender, and he has full faith, one of the most powerful medicines to cure the disease of the heart, which means material attachment, material desire. Sometimes kama is translated as lust. So some people are more lusty than others. But generally kama says kamam ridrogam. So the disease of the heart is lust, of course, is there, but also greed is there. And that's also a disease. Greed, anger, lust, envy, illusion, pride, all these things, pride and ego, these are all diseases. So we can say it removes the heart disease of lust, because that's how it's translated in the verse. But the broader meaning and the general meaning of kama means desire. Because we not only have lust, we have greed too. We have greedy desire. We have desires. So the common point here is desires. We have desires to fulfill our greed. And we have desires to fulfill our envy. Oh, I don't like that guy. I just want to finish him off. Then one day you may do it. Because of your envy, you have desires. Because of our envy, we have desires. Because of our anger, we have desires. Because of our lust, we have desires. Because of our greed, we have desires. So the common denominator is calm means desires. I think you understood. It's like a repeating common point. So he says that it cures the disease of lust by hearing the tenth canto, the beautiful sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna, especially and specifically in the Rasadas, because this verse, 10:33-39, is a Shruti Phal, the benediction verse, the blessing verse for the Bhagavatam, that he says that this is it. There aren't that many verses. Srimad Bhagavatam has 336 chapters and something like, I don't know, 150 stories, 18,000 shlokas. You know, they break it down sometimes. 18,000 shlokas, that's for sure. And I think something like 336 chapters or so. But throughout those 18,000 verses and all those stories, so there's 336 chapters, but only a few of those chapters conclude with a Shruti Phal. So it's not that there's 360 blessings and 360 benedictions. There's a lot. There's a lot of benedictions, because this is one of the characteristics of all Puranas. Because Puranas are full of karmakanda and full of different activities to perform and pujas and rituals and charities and pious activities, punya karmas, to perform to appease Bhagavan or to satisfy or please Bhagavan or the demigods, to procure and acquire various material benefits and results. So this is the nature of every Purana will give so many blessing chapters. But if you see, this is the best one. Because Krishna's Leela is so powerful. Krishna's Braj Leela with the gopis, especially this rasa dance, is so, although it's the topmost, most intimate pastime, because it's the topmost pastime and the most intimate pastime, then you have to have the most adhikar to approach it. You have to have the most adhikar to bear the medicine. Because just like in the field of medicine, In Ayurveda, they have a category of medicines called rasayana. And rasayana, they're all based on combinations and permutations of mercury. The base is mercury. Now, mercury, a little too much mercury, practically any mercury, straight mercury will kill you. But when mercury is by these scientific preparation practices that are mentioned in the Shushruta Samhita and Charak Samhita by the two modern founders and the explainers of the science of Ayurveda, Charaka Muni and Shushruta Muni, they describe the method and the process of how to make rasayanas. These books are full of procedures and how to actually make the medicines. If you can even procure or acquire the very rare and difficult things. So in rasayana medicines, they're utilizing heavy metals mixed with mercury. There's gold and lead and copper, all these iron, all these heavy metals. They're called heavy metals. And they're highly poisonous themselves. Too much, you know, lead exposure, or lead paint or whatever. You know, babies die from lead paint or whatever they have these things. Very powerful. And so rasayan medicine is rasayan, ayan. Ayan means life, means to give life. Ayur, ayan. Ayurveda, ayan. So ayana means life-giving, ras. It's nectar. It restores you to the condition of sweet health. And it's considered an amrit. So this is called amrit oshadi, or rasayana medicine. However, there's adhikar and qualification. If you're sick, if you're too sick, or if you're too diseased, or if you have a weak liver, many, many conditions where you can't take it. And if it's given to you, it can kill you. Makardwaj, one is called Makardwaj Rasayan. So sometimes people get so many, now it's so free information everywhere on the internet, and so many Ayurvedic sites, and so many books everywhere in every language. So people, they like to be their own doctor. People are pretty independent in this age. Oh, I have this disease, I'll take this rasayana. And there is all over the market you can buy, supply and demand. There's a big demand, so you get big supply. So then you start buying all this rasayana, that rasayana. Okay, I'm going to be super strong, I'm going to have a really good brain. And all of a sudden you end up in a hospital or even dying. This is like mercury, it's not a joke. So this Bhagavatam, because the greatest disease, he said, Ridrogam. So this is Ridrogam, Kamam Ridrogam. So there's no greater disease of the conditioned soul than desire. Because we can desire, if Krishna gives us a desire, if Krishna gives us, or the Guru gives us the desire to serve, then we desire to serve Krishna. Because without the contact and the blessings of Guru and Krishna, we don't have the desire to serve Krishna in us. We have the potential, but not the desire. It's like dry grass can burn, but it'll never burn. It has potential to burn unless a match is added. So there's potential of every jiva to serve. That's his sarup. That's called his constitutional sarup lakshana. Means the essential primary characteristic of the jiva is a tendency. The form of seva is minutely part of his existence. But without the catalyst of Krishna's mercy or the catalyst of Guru, make the touch of that, no success. So therefore, if we don't have the touch of bhakti from Guru Krishna, then we have automatically millions of material desires. So this is the greatest disease of every conditioned soul, is desires to enjoy my body. I want to enjoy this world and these people and my body. So that is accepted as the greatest disease. So what's the most? So a great disease requires a powerful medicine, but you have to be strong enough to bear it. Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha that if one is reading about Krishna's intimate leelas, like Rasa Leela, Where Krishna puts his hand on the, it's right in the Sanskrit, Krishna puts his arm on the gopi's shoulder. Sometimes he touches their cheek, or he touches their breast, or he touches their thighs. This is very, very intimate things going on. And so many ideas can be understood between the lines. So he said if someone becomes sexually agitated, what he uses, the term he uses, Purusha Vikara. Vikara means transformation, changes, movements, disturbance. And Purusha means the enjoyer. So it's generally translated by translators in English, male transformations. But it could be also a woman. And generally, traditionally or historically, it appears that way. Maybe I'm wrong. But it appears that all the Shastras are primarily composed by men and generally intended more for men. Like we generally think of yoga and all the Shastras and difficult austerities of yoga, that a woman by constitution would not be possible to do all those kind of austerities. So they say Purusha Vikara means male transformations. In other words, one becomes sexually agitated or disturbed by reading about Krishna's conjugal pastimes with Radharani and the gopis. So in some commentators, they say in this verse, when they speak on this, they say that may be someone's condition, and then I forget who said it exactly, because it's of course in Bhakti, Bhakti Sandarbha. But some commentator, Acharya, whatever, maybe contemporary, said if that happens to such a person, then we can only lament how unfortunate that he can't take this great medicine. So sometimes everyone has the same disease. Like two people have the same disease, one guy goes to the Ayurvedic doctor and he gives him rasayana and he gets cured very maybe long time, or usually they're very, very powerful, so they get cured pretty soon. So then his friend says, oh, you have the same disease as I, and you're taking that medicine, I've been taking allopathic, let me go. So then he goes to the doctor and says, I'm sorry, I can't give this medicine to you because it will not suit you, you're too old, or whatever, you have liver dysfunction, some difference there, some bade. Everything's individual. So this is, so I would say, we say male transformations, but of course it's possible ladies also. Ladies and men are both subject to agitation from the opposite sex agitation. So but this is the power of the medicine. So Vishnath and his five factors, he said, there are three factors to cure the material disease, whatever serious disease. If it's serious, very serious disease, it takes it takes time factor and a long time. And it takes medicine and it takes a doctor. So the material disease of lust or just material desire is a very grave and very serious disease, which we all have. So the doctor in this case is the guru. Then the medicine is threefold. One is guru agya. He gives you an order then he gives you different orders to do different sevas. And then he gives you a practice, a sadhana. You have to do this sadhana. One need to chant 1 lakh of rounds every day and do 3 prakramas of Govardhan. That should wear you out. Now you should be so tired after that you won't have any more disturbance. You won't have any more desires except sleep. And that's okay. You can sleep. That's not a bad desire. But don't sleep for your whole life. So that's there's the orders, and then there's the sadhana, different maybe sevas, but a seva, it's called sevagya, and then there's the sadhana, the practice of sadhana, and then meditating on Krishna. He says because it's abhyas, so we have to repeatedly, you can use this word abhyas to all three factors of this medicine. You need a doctor, you need a guru. You need the time factor, you need a time factor. Serious, very serious material disease takes a long time. So it may take a long time because our disease is more serious, because diseases of the body are easy to cure, but diseases of the heart are very difficult to control, difficult to cure. If you have a heart, someone breaks your heart, it may stay broken for your whole life. You get married to at a young age, and then after a few years, you get divorced, and your whole life may be disturbed by that. So that disease is always sitting in your mind. So this emotional disease or mental disease, disturbance, or even worse than physical. So it's the greatest disease. So we have the doctor, then we have the time factor. So we should expect that this great disease we have, a material attachment, a material desire, may take some time. It's not just a three-day cold capsule. You take this capsule, 1,500 mg per day, 3 days, you know, Azrath or whatever it is, you know, this, that. You take it three times a day, you'll be somewhere else. You'll sleep most of the 3 days, but finally the disease is gone. So this is going to maybe take longer for some and shorter for others, because maybe some practiced in last life and others didn't. It's hard to say. So the time factor and the three medicines are the guru. Not the three medicines, but the three medicines in this case are following the orders of the guru, guru agya, which means guru seva, guru's orders, then following a path of sadhana, then meditating on Krishna. I don't have the Sanskrit here, or even word for word, you know, English-type Sanskrit. We could read what he says. But he says, so what I mean to say, it slipped my mind, the word abhyas means regular, daily, repeated, constant. So it's repeat every day you have to take the medicine, and then your vitamins or whatever the medicine doctor. So abhyas saying, and he says that this point about repeated means you have to repeatedly carry out, you have to repeatedly remember and follow the orders of the guru. And you have to continually serve the guru, you know, whatever that capacity is. It doesn't mean necessarily vapu seva, directly living near him and serving his body, because most people are working and they're married. So generally for a grihastha, he'll give some money to maintain the ashram. Once a month, he'll send $50 or whatever, something. So somehow he's taking part in seva. Then, so he's following the order of the guru to do different things, and sadhanas and sevas, and then he's following the practice of sadhana, and then he's meditating. He said by constantly applying the mind, constantly practicing meditation on the Supreme Lord. And then, so this is the analogy he's using. These five factors. Guru, and then the medicine, and the medicine is the seva and orders of the guru, and the sadhana practices, and especially the meditation on Krishna. That's the medicine, and then takes time and get cured. But then we have one more thing. So actually we have six things. Because we have vairagya also. We have to practice. Well, that's also there, you could say, and that's there in any disease. So let's say this. Because he's saying to control the mind, you need abhyas, and you need vairagya. So that vairagya is also there to control a disease of material desire, or control a material bodily disease, physical disease. You also need detachment, vairagya, because the doctor says you can't eat any fried foods. You have a liver dysfunction. You have jaundice. You can only eat steamed green papaya and occasionally some boiled rice, very watery rice, and lots of sugar candy, rock mystery, or whatever medicine they prescribe. So, but I want to eat. No, you have to be detached. Just like they say, I heard one tape, Prabhupada was saying, if someone has typhoid, disease called typhoid, and he eats pakoras, because he's really mad about pakoras. He has a great attachment to pakoras. And doctors said, don't eat any fried foods. You can't eat any fried foods because you have typhoid. So he's not eating for a few days, but he craves it, because every day he was eating. And he goes on a binge. He goes crazy. And he eats like 150 deep-fried pakoras. He may die. Prabhupada said on a tape, he may die. If you eat the wrong food, your food may become poison. So this is how strict things are. So this is a very nice purport of Vishnath. And then he also quotes the Yoga Sutras. So there's no way around it. potentially saying in Yoga Sutras. Yoga Sutras are addressing the Ashtanga Yogis, how they control the mind. So he's saying, what's he saying? Abhyasa vairagabhyam tannirodha. He said you have to be fixed and no disturbance, nirodha. Nothing should be in the way of these two things, your daily constant practice and detachment. So this is already in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And Krishna is telling the same thing in this Gita Upanishad. Gita is the essence of all the Upanishads. It's like the essence of all Vedic literature. The essence of all the Vedas is the Upanishads. And the essence of the Upanishads is, like, for the Advaitins, they'll say Vedanta Sutra. That's the essence. But we say, they say the essence of all the Upanishads is Vedanta Sutra. We say the essence of all the Upanishads is Bhagavad Gita. And that's now commentary. The commentary, like the commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Srimad Bhagavatam is not called a Bhagavat Upanishad. It's called Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Puran. So you follow it? You have all the Vedas, and all that knowledge is condensed into small sutras, or small one or two, three words. Anavriti Shabdat. Anavriti Shabdat. Tattvamasi. Sarva Kavidam Brahma. Aham Brahmasmi. These are some of the sutras of Vedanta Sutra. Janmad Yasya Yataha. That's the first part of Vedanta Sutra, chapter 1. Verse 1, 1:1:1. Very interesting, because it's the Srimad Bhagavatam, first verse opens with that. So why is he saying that? Why is Vyasadeva writing that in the verse 1? Because really the beginning verses of the Bhagavatam are like Mangalacharan in one sense. They glorify the book, they glorify the purpose of the book, they explain what benefits people will get from the book, and also explain who will not get any benefit. Dharma prachitakai devotro. Cheaters, they'll get, you know, the envious will get no benefit. So there he's saying in the first verse, he's saying that's the flag. Here's the flag. Oh, red flag goes up. Sometimes in football or something, some sports, the referee raises the flag up. Offense or whatever. So it says, Janmad yasya yataha. So this one line, everything that follows this first line, Ekpada, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 1, verse 1, line 1, it's called Pada, Ekpada, Charpada, four lines of the verse. Janmad yasya yataha. All the other padas and all the other lines, totaling 18,000 verses, will explain this one. Janmad yasya yataha. This whole Bhagavatam will explain that the Janma, Adi Janma, the original source, Janmad Yasya Yata, Janmad Adi Yasya, so the original source of everything, the beginning, like whatever you want to say, beginning, is eternal. Janmad, the source of everything is, so Vedanta Sutra, Vedanta Sutra, let's say, the commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, called Shariraka Bhashya by the Advaitin Acharya, Shankaracharya, Sripad Shankaracharya. He says that this Janmad Yasya Yataha means Brahman. Everything is Brahman. And the source of everything, everything ends in Brahman, everything comes from Brahman, everything is just a transformation of Brahman. So our acharyas, Vyasadeva, this is the natural commentary by the compiled. He compiled Vedanta Krita Veda Vedeva Chaham. It's in the 15th chapter of Gita. It says that Vedanta Krita means I wrote down. Vedanta Krita, Krita means I wrote it down. Vedanta Krita Veda Ved, Vedavid, that Vedavid, I know the Vedas. I'm Vyasadeva. He compiled the Vedas. He's the literary incarnation of Krishna. So he wrote down the Vedas. So now he wrote the Bhagavatam, which is a commentary on the Vedanta, which he also wrote. He wrote Vedanta, then he wrote a commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why we say there's a natural commentary. We don't need to give another. But 500 years ago in Rajasthan, in Galta, right outside of Jaipur, the king was in a dilemma. Because the king, he was a very religious king, Jai Singh II or second or something. Very religious, and of course very wealthy, being a king. So he was, being very religious, he was patronizing and giving donations and support to different groups. And everyone was, all these different groups were vying for the favor of the king. Like in the Bhagavatam, the two wives of Uttanapad, Saruchi and Suniti. Suniti was one queen, and then there's Saruchi. Saruchi was not so qualified. Suniti is a Rani from birth. And Saruchi was a Vaishya or a Shudra. She was accepted as a wife of King Uttanapad. Saruchi, well, she was very beautiful. Ruchi means very beautiful, very tasty. So Suniti, Niti means good behavior, well-behaved, very elegant, well-behaved, perfect conduct. And Suniti was the mother. Suniti is the mother. All these names have meaning, you know, in the Bhagavatam. In the Vedic society, everyone was named according to their characteristics. Yudhisthira, fixed in Yuda. Yudhisthira, when he's on the battlefield, he can't be moved. And then Duryodhan means he fights in kind of bad ways. Dur means bad. He's like a dirty fighter. You know, when you walk away, he hits you on the head. You know, like a dirty fighter. A bad fighter. Or you could say ferocious also, like also ferocious. And then Arjuna means fixed. All these names mean something. And all the acharyas in their commentaries, especially Vishnu Chakravarti in his comments on Gita, in the first chapter, he mentions those different names. So the Suniti, she was at one time favored by the king, but now she was not in his favor. So Suruchi was getting all the attention. You know the whole story is there. So in a similar way, the king of Jayapur, 400 years ago, or 300, whatever it was, say 300 or so, Vishnu Chakravarti Baladevi Debhushan's time, 1700s, about 300 years ago. He was, many religious groups were vying for his attention. So the Ramanandis, they wanted the Vallabhacharya followers, the Ramanandis, four or five, the Shankarites, the Mayavadis, they're all, he was giving money to all of them. I know there are many life members in ISKCON, very wealthy life members in Bombay and Delhi. And they give so much charity to ISKCON, even they're initiated in ISKCON by ISKCON gurus. But they also give to Ramakrishna Mission, and they also give to Chinmayananda Mission, and they give to Mother Teresa, and they give because they have so much wealth, and they want tax write-offs or some pratishtha or whatever, can't say. So they're giving even to quote-unquote Mayavadi or non-Vaishnava movements. So now the same thing, because the king was taking care of Govindaji, and when Govindaji came to Jayapur, a bunch of Bengalis came there as the Pujaris, the Diksha descendants of Jiva Goswami. They were taking care of the deity, I believe it's Jiva Goswami's, they were married disciples, descendants, because he wasn't married, so there's Grihastha couples. So they were doing well, but the other ones, and the king was giving so much money there, and favoring the Bengali Gaudiya Vaishnavas also. So there was competition. It's like one king and he has 10 wives. So they'll all be competing and trying to outdress the other one and please the husband so they get his favor. So that was going on. And then, I don't know how we got off over there. Anyway, Vishnu, I saved the day. So this is the Bhagavad Gita. It really goes in funny ways. I got so lost in. Because when I speak about these places, I've been to Galta several times, and I went to, there's several temples there by all those different groups, and I don't think there's any Gaudiya temple there. And so I visited there, and I went to the place where the argument, where they had the debate, Baladeva Vibhushan. I was trying to say that Baladeva, because of everyone is vying for the king's attention, one of the things that came up by the Ramanandis, now I know why, I'm getting back to it, they said, these Gaudiyas, they don't have any commentary. The Sridhar Swami followers of Sridhar Swami, Advaitins, you know, the Advaitins Sampradaya. They said, we have our commentary. And then the Ramanuja, the Sri Vaishnavas are also getting donations and support. They have a big temple in Jaipur. They said, we also have a commentary in Vedanta. Any bona fide Vaishnav group, even Advaitin, non-Vaishnav group, anyone who's bona fide, they all have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. But the Gaudiyas don't, so they're bogus. So the king was seen as a king. He's not a pundit. Oh, yeah. Sounds convincing. Everybody does what they must. So then he talked to the representatives there and the pujaris. You know, they're saying you're not qualified to do puja because you're bogus. Your diksha's bogus. Your parampara's bogus. Everything's bogus. So step over, rover. You know, step aside and take a slide. We're taking over now. So then a messenger came to Vrindavan and says, help, help. Because all the kings and pujaris and Thakurjis were there in Jayapur and nearby. But all the smart Babajis and Sannyasis and Goswamis, all the Gaudiya Acharyas were basically most of them in Vrindavan, all of them in Vrindavan. So they came here, then they got the help, and then he went and retrieved it. And it Baladeva Vidyabhushan was sent there, and he got inspired in his dream or by Spurti, and he wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So then we also have a commentary. So I was just explaining how I was glorifying the Bhagavad Gita. That's how it started. I was saying the Gita is called the Gita Upanishad, because the Upanishads describe karma and jnana, yoga, everything, bhakti. All these sutras. So the essence of all those teachings is here in this Bhagavad Gita. It's called Gita Upanishad. Now the essence of Bhagavad Gita, because the Upanishads have many secret knowledges. There's Guhya Vidya, there's Guhyatara Vidya, Guhyatam Vidya, Sarva Guhyatamam. There's like four or five categories of secret knowledge. Raja Vidya, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavishram Pavambhavam. It's in 9th chapter, verse 2. Of the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna concludes, he actually mentions two times, Krishna lets the cat out of the bag. He tells a secret twice in Bhagavad Gita.